Thanks for tuning in to the Secret Ingredient Podcast from Digital Sandwich, where we believe that everyone has a story behind their story, and that is where the secret ingredient lives. Unleashing the secret ingredient through a combination of personalized custom content, social media, and paid advertising is the very best way to build the relationships that you need to grow your business. With that being said, let's see what's in the kitchen and find out this week's secret ingredient.
Welcome back to the Secret Ingredient from Digital Sandwich, where I am joined today by one of my good buddies and trusted advisors, Mr. Ned Parks. He knows a ton about a ton and more than most people, and sometimes it's actually even on purpose. Last time I had him on, I thought it would be a beautiful disaster today, and I know it will be, because we really don't have much of an agenda today. So about a half hour conversation about what makes Ned, Ned. What is Ned's nest? the nest of Ned.
Oh, jeez.
So, yeah. So we'll just start off with what's pissing you off today, Ned? What's grinding your gears,
yeah,
buddy?
So before I get into that, I just have to make mention of the fruit salad you're wearing.
You remember that lady on Hee-Haw?
Suit. Yes.
Was that Minnie Pearl?
Minnie Pearl.
I kind of resemble her hat.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. I just wanted to make mention of the bananas. I didn't have a banana this morning for breakfast.
I'm not wearing a hat, though. Right? So this is actually a three-piece suit, but I left the hat at home because it's over the top. It's too much.
So I'll tell you something that's been grinding my gears for a while, actually. And that is the absolute insane posts on LinkedIn. I am so sick and tired of, I'm thrilled, it's been great, I'm honored, this blah, 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 blah. I'm figuring that something good is in this post or you wouldn't be posting it. I don't need the adjectives. Just tell me. Just say it. I'm just ready to vomit.
Well, who do you think's writing those posts?
Probably the people themselves.
You think?
Yeah. Well, they could get a robot to do it or AI.
I hope this email finds you well.
Oh, well, though. Yeah, that's definitely a scripted load of garbage.
I heard that's why Sam Altman got fired, actually. He wanted to make sure that the AI kept writing it that way.
Is that right?
Or something. No, I'm just a joke. No, he's back, actually. But No, I agree. It's a complete shit show over there. So what they've done, LinkedIn is the great networking in the sky, right? And now it kind of sounds like a in-person networking event.
Yeah, it really does.
A bunch of horse shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm beyond thrilled. Really? I didn't know you could be beyond thrilled, but okay, whatever. Come up with something a little bit more. How about just tell me, you know, hey, I did this and it worked well. Awesome. Great. I don't know. That's just, I've already put more effort into talking about it than it's worth, so.
Well, I'm beyond thrilled that you brought that up.
Thank you. That's a fist bump there, buddy.
Awesome. They call that a callback, I think.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's big in the comedy world. Callbacks are big in the comedy world.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
When you take a comedy class, you learn that kind of shit.
I should do that sometime.
You should.
That'd probably be interesting.
It's awesome. Yeah. It's awesome. I've taken two.
I'll bet you have.
Yeah. It was great. I learned a lot.
Is that a credential on your?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I don't know that I would put that on LinkedIn, complete, you know, certificated in comedy workshop stuff.
You know, it's a thing, though, actually. A couple months ago, Western Reserve did a breakfast, and they had somebody that used to work at Second City come in and do, like, the improv, like, applying improv to networking and business and whatever. And it was actually fascinating.
It's fascinating. And I think that I recommend that everybody do that. Look, we're all asked to stand up on our feet last minute and talk coherently for 90 seconds to 12 minutes, you know, whatever, something. And improv allows you to improvise. It allows you to be impromptu. Toastmasters is actually very good at forcing people to stand up and talk impromptu and make you feel comfortable. I think it's like I'm just training my brain to think a little bit. There's a lot of it. I've taken improv at Weathervane Playhouse. They had a course down there.
Really?
Yeah. And I tell you what, it was highly valuable and a boatload of fun.
No, I would totally do that. I don't need to like learn stand up or anything.
No, but
I'm
it's
already
just,
fucking funny.
You are.
Yeah. I don't need to learn stand up, but that improv stuff is highly useful.
Well,
you know that question. What three subjects could you on no notice give a half hour talk about or 15-minute talk about?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, any of that stuff. You know, let's put that together for first quarter of the year. We'll put together 5, 10, 15, 20 people that want to do a half-day improv class just for their own personal professional development.
I think it's a great angle. Yeah, I think it's a great angle. Yeah. Okay. Well, the drink heavily. I think it would also be a good class.
It would be a great class. It would be a lot of fun. It'd be a hoot and a half.
Yeah.
And it's not altogether that expensive.
No, it really isn't. I mean, that was one of the better kind of community networking events that I had been to. But I always think that networking with a program is better than for
networking
the sake
with
of
a
networking.
Business card. Because I know that grinds your gears.
Dude. I switch up the rapid fire round questions.
Uh-huh.
And that is not one of yours today. So I'm gonna ask you that
right
now.
Okay.
Is network a noun or a verb?
Oh, I think it's a verb. I think it's something that you engage in, but it's a verb and it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. And that's where it changes for me. You mm-hmm. know, I'll go to an event and meet somebody and go, there's something, there's some depth to this person. There's depth to what they do.
Right.
I want to know more about it. So then I turn that into a follow-up. And just as an educational thing, not as a sales tool. I think that's the other place that, you know, I'm always looking to, you know, I'm not, but we spend too much time thinking about what can I sell to this person standing in front of me instead of saying, who is this person standing in front of me?
Yeah.
Let's just do this and have curiosity be our foundation.
Well, what if you flipped it to what can I buy from this person?
Or what can I buy from this person?
And it may just be ideas.
It could be, right? Yeah. It's just an exchange of ideas. It's just I met somebody new. It was fun. They cracked a joke. You know, and that's fine too. I mean,
I like to look at that as, so for me, it's network the noun. And obviously, there's no wrong answer.
Right.
Obviously.
Sure.
But for me, if I look at it as network the noun, it changes how I approach it. Obviously, the act of building your network is networking.
Sure.
And that is a verb, right? So, but if I look at it as a noun, as I look at it as a tangible thing of value, an asset, then it changes how I approach the act of building it. So when you say that it's a marathon or whatever, it's because you're actually attempting to add the right people to your network.
Right.
Right. Right. And it just for me, the semantics of that changes. It totally changes how I look at it. And it's why I didn't carry business cards forever because I don't freaking care.
Right.
It's not about a sales pitch. I don't want you to refer me yet. We don't know each other. I don't want to do business with you. We don't know each other. I just want to build relationships and grow that network. The other thing that people forget is it's not that one degree. It's not that one degree away. It's usually the 2 to 3 to 4.
Correct.
Where the business actually comes from. That one degree away is usually where you find your vendors, your mentors, heaven forbid, friends.
Yeah, right.
I mean, exactly. we actually need relationships around here.
100%.
You know, that have no actual transfer of dollars.
Right.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why people forget that.
Correct.
I don't know about you, but I'm guessing Brenda does not want you to come home and talk all about business all evening. My wife will stab me in the ear with a number 2 pencil. She does not want to hear about Facebook pixels.
Okay.
She does not want to hear about retargeting.
Right.
She does not want to hear about how I am thrilled about LinkedIn.
Beyond thrilled.
Beyond thrilled about LinkedIn. Right. She is not beyond thrilled about
me
not. Being thrilled.
She's disgusted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also need relationships, and we need to chuckle, and we need to laugh, and we need to have lunch. And
right.
Yeah.
Right.
All those things are okay.
Yep. They are okay.
So you're always into about 8,000 different things. Yeah. So what's the latest with you? I asked what pissing you off right now. What are you excited about right now?
So I'm really excited about it's not a retransformation at all. So, you know, I've been doing strategic planning for 24 years. And, you know, when I started doing that for clients, I I did what everybody, I went to the library, I found a book and I started following the book and I went, well, that didn't work here and it didn't work there and so on and so forth. And then I spent an enormous sum of time and effort and money trying to build a do-it-yourself, a DIY strategic plan. Mm-hmm. And it, and I think it's a brilliant piece of work that absolutely nobody wanted. It's still a brilliant piece of work.
I give myself that affirmation every morning.
Right.
It was a brilliant piece of work.
It was a brilliant piece of work that absolutely nobody wants to do on their own. Mm-hmm. And that was a that was an interesting lesson. So, you know, people could say, well, is that a failure because it never saw the light of day? No, it was a huge win because I learned an enormous amount. And it's like, oh, well, when you look at it that way. So we've, you know, 24 years down the road, we have a really solid proprietary process that we use. And I call it proprietary. It's not like it's a big secret or anything. Anybody can do it. But of late, and in no small portion with your help, we have finally given this a name and fleshed out some other things around it.
Yeah.
And it's on the verge of really taking its next step of maturity, I guess is what I would call it. The process works. I mean, it's worked, you know, a couple hundred times now. I mean, it works. And I'm just really jazzed about this next step that it's going to be taking. So that's what's got me jazzed at the moment.
Yeah, and it should. I did spend quite a bit of time with you kind of learning about that and understanding the process. And, you know, I think that strategic planning or even the word or the phrase strategic plan is one of those phrases that what the hell does that even actually mean, right? I need a strategic plan. That's usually what somebody says when they don't know what the hell they're actually even asking for.
Correct.
To take the burden of doing something off of that. We can't do anything until we have a strategic plan.
Right.
And I'm not talking about anything in particular at all whenever I make that comment. We need a strategic plan. What does that actually mean?
Yeah,
what is it?
And that's a great, that's the right question, Adam. And a huge piece of the problem comes out when we realize the massive amount of confusion between a business plan and a strategic plan.
Great.
That's just a huge amount of confusion, number one. Number two, many people then say, okay, I get the fact that it's different. And so now I'm going to do a strategic plan. And I hear this all the time. It's one of two things. It's fascinating. We're going to do a mission and vision statement and we'll have our strategic plan. No, you won't. So let's just start there.
Right.
Or I'll talk to a client. I'll go, do you have a strategic plan? Yeah, we just finished our budget. Okay. That's like you asking me if I have my hat on and I tell you I just put my shoes on.
Right.
The budget comes from the strategic plan.
Right.
The strategic plan does not come from the budget. So the fact that you have a budget is great. I'm delighted. Good discipline. I'm not disrespecting the fact that you have a budget. In fact, I'm applauding it. Don't confuse that with having a strategic plan. So I think that's it. And I think it also comes down to having a very clear understanding of three really top-line things and then pulling the data to support that. What business are we in? What do we sell and what do our customers buy? And I will tell you the answers to all three are massively different. If you have the same answer or even a crossover answer of any of those three, you don't have – one of those answers is wrong. I'm not sure which one.
Right.
And
it's usually what do people buy.
It is almost entirely –
with my marketing head, because that's where you stop and I begin.
Yep.
Right? Is what do people buy?
What do people buy?
What are they actually buying? What problem are we solving? Because that's what they're buying. And
you know, it's
massive interesting.
Yeah.
Confusion.
It's massive confusion, and they think they're buying what I'm selling.
Yeah,
and they're not. And one of the years ago, I was on a business trip, sitting at a bar having dinner, and a guy sits down there, and oh my God, it was kind of like networking. We got to know each other.
Yeah.
It turned out he owned a string of car washes, and what was really cool is as we talked about business over our steaks and our beers, I said, so how many car washes do you have in the area that are competition for you? He said, none. I go, oh, that's great. He goes, oh, I didn't say there wasn't any other car washes. They're not my competition. I said, why are they that bad? He goes, no, they're fantastic. He goes, Ned, I compete against the guy that washes his own car.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, what clarity. You talk about a guy who had clarity about his business.
Right.
He said, I need to convince them that this is a better way to wash their car. I don't need to worry about the guy down the street. In fact, and this is another thing I learned from him, I love having competition. I just want them to do a really good job, because if they're a lousy car wash and you try it for the first time after washing your car and you have a bad experience, I'll never get you as a customer.
Right.
So please, if you're going to compete with me, be really good at what you do. Wow, be really good at what you do.
It's a great point, because, yeah, bad marketers are probably the worst thing in the world. Oh, I tried that before.
Yeah.
I tried that.
It was a disaster.
Facebook ads. I don't know.
I'm not talking to you guys. You guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Right, you guys.
Yeah, because we're all lumped together.
And that would be true for any industry, right?
Sure.
You have a bad experience with a bad attorney. I never want to hire another attorney again as long as I live. Well, you know, that's, I get where that emotionally comes from, because you got stung and it wasn't enjoyable. But yeah, it's just fascinating to me. So anyway, that's
competitors aren't my competitors.
Nope.
But the folks that are in my industry better do a good job, or they will help ruin me too.
Correct.
Yeah. But not in the way that you think.
Correct.
Not by taking business, by ruining it before it ever gets to me.
Think for a minute. Use fast food, because we've all been there.
Sure.
If there was a lousy fast food dealer out there, do you want to go to another one across the street?
No. Not really.
Not really. I may prefer the hamburger at this fast food than that one. So that, or it's, frankly, probably the bigger question is, that's four lanes of traffic. I have to turn left to get into that one. This isn't right. I'll go to that one instead, because it's fast food, not slow food, right? So, but I want them all to be good, maybe different. That's a competitive thing and it's a personal thing, but just, I want all the airlines to be really good at what they do, all of them.
Well, that actually speaks to the concept of, you know, the pie or the pizza, right? There's two ways to get a bigger slice of pie or pizza, and that's the make the pie bigger and make the slice bigger, right? The slice itself, we can make it wider.
Right.
Or we can make the radius larger as well.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So the bigger it all gets, the bigger that market grows, we can take our same percentage of share is a larger raw number. Yep. So.
Yeah. So the strategic plan and this new maturity, I'm going to call it a maturity of this process, because we didn't change a process, but it's becoming more mature
and
just jazzed all kinds of ways.
What's it called? You don't call it a strategic plan.
No, we actually don't.
Yeah.
We actually don't. And boy, did we ever go through, you know, and it was interesting, before I give you the name, a little backstory here. It didn't have a name for 20 years.
Right.
It just was, we do the it was a verb, not a noun, to go back to that, right?
Yeah.
And now we've attached a noun to it that's explanatory.
So now it's a thing.
It's a thing, and it's an integrative strategic roadmap. And the whole idea of it is that we pull together the three things that really run a business, and that is the strategy, obviously. We've been talking about it. But the leadership piece, how do we operate as people within the organization? And then the culture, what do we look like? What are the unwritten rules and norms? And how does each impact the other? And if one is broken, it will negatively impact the other two. So what we try to do is, and we do, is bring all of those together. And yeah, I'm pretty jazzed about this maturity of it.
The word, that's a mouthful. It's saying a whole lot with those three words, but the word in it that sort of resonates with me is the roadmap piece, is because I feel like at the end of it, I actually get something.
You have an action plan.
I feel like I know where, okay, I need to go to California. I need a roadmap in order to do that.
Right.
We're defining, if I have a roadmap, there's a destination to find, and then there's a pathway to get there.
Yep.
And so I feel like there's actually something.
Yeah.
There instead of all this, I don't even know, like this is great. I have a strategic plan, but what do I do? what do I do now? What do I do today?
Who does what and when?
Yeah.
And that is the one thing we're extremely proud and always have been. When we're done, I hand you about a 2 to 3 page Excel spreadsheet. And oh, by the way, all the obligatory 3-ring binders, because you don't feel like you've got a strategic plan without it. I know you will never read them, but all the data is there if you need to go look at it. That's fine. But a 2 to 3 page Excel spreadsheet, we call Signals to Success, and it's what, by whom, and when. And I always tell the clients, that's when you're going to hate me in this process, because I'm going to sit there and I'm going to look at the leadership team and I'm going to go, whose name do I put right here?
Yeah.
And you're all going to look at your shoes. And they know that's good. They all get it. That's fine. Yeah. You know, it's the... But anyway, yeah, that's what I'm jazzed about.
Yeah, the leadership team's usually the problem.
Well, often they are.
It's usually the problem. And, you know, and sometimes they even care that they're the problem.
They do. Sometimes they actually do. So what are you jazzed about? What's going on in your world,
well,
man?
Well, I'm jazzed about my outfit, first of all.
You
first
as well, foremost. You should be.
I mean, why wouldn't I be? I'm jazzed to get the podcast back rolling. We're sort of doing a shorter format here.
Okay.
And I think I'm excited to collaborate with Pedal Stomper, Josh at Pedal Stomper Productions. Happy to do that. And then get some folks that, you know, I was telling a previous guest that for some reason, for years, long before I was ever in, you know, my career started out in behind a bar, honestly, was the first like actual job that I had.
Like, and on the serving side of the bar, not the consumption side.
Well, I spent a lot of time on both sides.
Thought
honestly.
I'd just get some clarity there.
I spent a lot of time on both sides, to be fair. That those two kind of go hand in hand, unfortunately. They, yeah. But I learned a lot about business behind the bar, and I learned a lot about people behind the bar. Right. And, you know, things that serve me today, I learned there. Truthfully, and then expanded on that in my second life, which was a sales career in telecom, sure. And then now obviously the
marketing. Can I make an observation?
Sure.
And this is not for you because I know you know this already, but for anybody that listens to this, the reason that you learned a lot in this unlikely place to learn anything, a bar, right, serving customers, is because you are naturally curious. Mm. And I will tell you, that is a skill that I find lacking unilaterally in many, many people. People are not naturally curious. And some of them aren't even intentionally curious.
Interesting.
Because they're too focused on themselves. And it holds people back from all sorts of things like, if I meet with you and we talk about this, you'll steal my idea. Well, that shows me a lack of curiosity on your part, a lack of—
You'll steal my idea.
Yeah, like, okay, you must think a lot of your idea. And by the way, you know, I certainly, you know, I intellectually property protect my stuff too. But frankly, if you don't understand it, you're probably going to make a mess of it anyway. So whatever. But the bottom line is—
I have a lot to say on that one.
Yeah, I say, you and me both. But the bottom line is, Adam, is you're naturally— have a natural curiosity about you. You're interested in stuff. You're interested in stuff you don't even want to do. You're just like, oh, that's interesting. What's that? You know? And my dad was that way, and he thankfully passed it on to me. My dad hated boats, I don't know, maybe going to Asia to fight in World War II two ways on a boat in the hold probably had a little something
made
to do with
hate
that.
Hate boats.
Yeah, but it was not uncommon for him in the doctor's office to pick up the sailing magazine and read an article in it. I go, you hate boats? He goes, yeah, but he goes, this is talking about tracking and that has something to do with the wind and I'm learning about navigation. And I was like, oh, yeah. So people need to be more curious. And that a little bit goes to networking. Quit trying to tell me who you are and what you do. Find out about something else while you're there. What can you learn today?
You know, very often, It really escapes people, and this is what I don't understand, is if you reframe something, you can look at things completely differently, right? So the curiosity, the reason that people aren't is because they're so self-centric, right? They're so worried about them, they listen to respond or interrupt rather than to understand. Mm-hmm. And if they just thought about it for a minute, you can do both at the same time. You can be really damn curious to your benefit later. Mm. If I absorb like a sponge,
right.
That is now additional knowledge,
right,
and potentially ammunition in the next conversation. Mm-hmm. And I think that actually came from sales. Behind the bar was fascinating because you saw everything.
Oh, sure.
You saw the worst in people. You saw affairs happening right there. You saw it was also the great equalizer where, you know, people of all sorts of station in life had to talk to you and whatnot. It's it was very, very interesting. I thought it was fascinating. And then fast forward, I still think about those the skills that I learned then. It's it served me for, you know, a 20 20 something
time, a while,
an amount of time,
some amount of time. Yeah, let's just leave it there.
A period of time.
Yeah, period
it has
of
served
time.
Me.
Right.
So I'm pumped to get the podcast back on. But since back then, for some reason, people have always shared really interesting stories with me, and so that was sort of the whole thinking behind spinning the podcast up was, why not press record? I talk about this all the time. People, oh, I don't create content, or I don't know what to do here. Or, I'm going to post, I'm super thrilled on LinkedIn, and it, you know, not anything actually interesting or valuable.
Right.
And I think of the lesson of the Tiger King, this asshole just pressed record every day.
That's
and it
did.
Turned into a phenomena, right?
Right.
It, you know, so just getting behind the mic and telling some stories and shooting the shit. And
you know, can I tell on myself?
Sure.
So everybody has a YouTube channel that they watch that they kind of don't want to talk about it too much in public. Everybody's got one, you know. So a buddy of mine.
I don't think that's called YouTube.
No. This would be like okay, like not that kind of stuff.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So a buddy of mine talked to me years ago. He goes, "Hey, I'm watching this show on TV, a cable TV." He goes, "I'm almost afraid of people to tell them how into it I am." I go, "What?" He goes, "Ice Road Truckers." Right?
Yeah.
And what was interesting about it as I examined that is you could look at it one way of going, this is a complete and total waste of my time. In one sense, it is. But also, I'm exhausted. I don't want to put a lot of thought into something.
Yep.
And so I click on Ice Road Truckers or whatever it happens to be. Well, YouTube's the
You can't always watch English television.
That's my big thing. So you're right, right? So
well, because you have to think about it.
So I've got this guy I'm watching on YouTube. I'm gonna admit it.
Yeah.
Python Cowboy.
Oh, Python Cowboy.
Yeah.
He's
a guy in Florida. He's certified and hired by the state of Florida to go out and hunt and kill pythons because they're infesting and iguanas. And he's got these dogs trained. He trains the dogs to sniff out the pythons. He wrestles them. He gets them in the back. It's like, I can't believe that. And I've watched, now there's a whole bunch of those people down there.
Yeah.
And so now, because I hang out with you and we talk about content so much, I'm actually paying attention to his content opposed to some of the others.
Sure.
And he's by far winning the race in quality, and all he did was hit record.
All you got to do is hit record.
He doesn't have a jazzy lead into it. Nothing. He's absolutely 100% genuine and real.
Well, I think that's really it, right? Yes, there's some production stuff that can happen, and
sure.
Yes, you can do it. Some people can do a better job with their hook or their intro, and you know, you have this. I also think it's a myth, this whole attention span bullshit, because in the same breath, we only have this much attention. No, like the people under 30 don't have the attention span. No, they don't have the attention span for bullshit. They don't have the attention span for boring shit. They still binge watch on Netflix,
sure.
Hulu, and Prime. They watch eight hours of television in a row.
Right.
They watch YouTube videos for hours, right? It's not – no, they just have – this is the secret about the under 30 crowd. They don't have tolerance for bullshit.
Right.
They have zero. Now, we can call it whatever we want to. They don't have tolerance, and they are also – but they're also afforded that they don't have to have a tolerance for it. It's not 50 years ago where I'm beholden to my pension and my health care and my whatever, so I have to go to work at a job I don't like because I have to.
Well, and
– it's different now.
Yeah, it's different now. And growing up, and you're – same for you as me, we had three channels.
Yeah.
And the radio, and that was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yep.
We didn't have anything else.
Right.
Right? And then cable came along and now all this other stuff. But anyway, so that's what's going on. So what the hell else is going on in your life? Have you got any new products cranking out, services?
You know, it is funny.
I know you're doing a lot of stuff with your team and
that team just keeps growing, which is pretty cool.
And getting a little goofier.
Well, yeah, I mean, what else would it do?
It's like,
I mean, speed of the pack is the speed of the leader, right?
Do you feed them a goof pill every morning or what?
They're something else. They really are. But what a, you know, I got a compliment the other day. I mean, at least I took it as a compliment. I got told that that really what goes on in my office is we're a mentorship organization that funds itself by doing marketing. And I appreciated that very, very much.
Wow. That's pretty cool, actually.
I'll take that. I'll take that all day.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And it also fluctuates who's doing the mentoring, by the way.
Yeah.
Because I learn a shit ton from that,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, you know, that's the other thing about this natural curiosity. Some of the best lessons, and I'll use leadership as an example, but it could be anything, right, that I've learned have been from people that have worked for me.
Absolutely. But you're never going to hear it if you don't humble yourself.
You're never going to hear it.
Yeah.
You've got to be willing to listen.
You're never going to hear it. I mean, how often? I was just having this conversation with my daughter a couple weeks ago. The lessons are there, very especially like in the parent child relationship.
Right.
We're saying something over and over and over. It's the same message.
Right.
They are not ready to hear it yet.
Right.
The lesson was already there.
Right.
And then you're ready to hear it. So it's very, you have to be willing to hear it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It mirrors parenting so much. But as a parent yourself, how much have we learned from our kids?
Right.
Because they just look at the world differently. They just have a different view. And it's often so simple and so simplistic that we've overcomplicated the fuck out of it. So many times, and the name of the podcast is The Secret Ingredient, and I think you would probably agree that your secret ingredient is your ability to uncomplicate shit, because people have this knack of just overcomplicating because they can't get out of their own way, they can't see the forest for the trees, they, you know, what about this and what about this, what about that, like just uncomplicate this. What if it was simple?
So interesting you bring that up, because there's two things that when I design a training program or I'm teaching somebody something, and these are always in my head and many times I write them down. So there's like two quick little things. Take people from the simple to the complex and from the known to the unknown. That's how you uncomplicate it.
Mm-hmm.
We can take an incredibly complex conversation. And if I simplify it first, and I don't mean dumb it down and leave it there. I mean, simplify it and then bring you to this higher academic or more complex or whatever. And if I connect you with things that you already know and bring you to the things that you don't know yet, that's how you uncomplicate this.
Right.
That's how you make that happen. I think the other piece of it is that the ability to be able to talk to somebody that's got 5 college degrees and somebody who's never seen the inside of a college. And I believe it's an art form, but it's also one that can be learned. But you said the word earlier, you got to be a little bit humble talking to either one of them.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's critical. But yeah, I would get, that's interesting. Secret sauce, uncomplicate. I would say that to me, that's kind of a bedrock as I try to uncomplicate.
No, it's one of them. I think you've got several.
Well,
but that's definitely at the core. You know, the being able to talk to the 5 degrees or the no degrees or whatever,
right.
that was always how I looked at. That's back to behind the bar.
Back behind the bar, because you had them all sitting there.
Well, you had them all sitting there, and they were all going to tip me somehow.
Got it.
Some of them were going to do it with their dollars in their wallet, and some of them were going to do it with their stories.
And some of the stories came from the most unlikely places.
They sure did. They sure did.
But you have to listen.
You got to be willing to listen.
You got to be willing.
And you also have to be willing to not be pissed off that this guy isn't going to tip you. I'm getting a tip.
Right.
That's the difference between you and me over there that's behind the bar, pissed off that mother and daughter over here never tip.
Right.
I always get a tip from them. Right. Every single time. It just isn't currency.
Right.
It's
not always
a dumbass story I'm going to tell later at the bar about what these knuckleheads did.
Yep.
That's my tip. But I'm willing to look at it that way.
Right.
You aren't. And that's where I win.
Yeah.
You go home and be miserable because of them. I have a great story to tell.
Yeah.
Well, we got to wrap up.
Okay.
It's always, I mean, we could talk for the whole day.
We could, you and I could go forever.
Yeah, we really could. We could have complaints and grievances on many other things.
Yeah.
I think that's how next time you're on, we'll start with complaints and grievances sort of as a rule.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, I think that works. Yeah. So the rapid fire round.
Okay.
We got to end with the rapid fire round.
All right.
Brussels sprouts, yes or no?
Oh, absolutely.
Early bird or night owl?
Oh, I suffer from both, but early.
You know, it's so funny. When I ask that question, most people are like, both, I don't sleep. And I'm the same way. Yeah, I'm up early, at four and I'm,
Right.
Coffee or tea?
Oh, coffee.
Innovation or tradition?
Innovation, but I appreciate tradition, but I don't let it hold me back.
One word that encapsulates your journey.
Never stop. Oh, you wanted one word.
It's a lot of...
Persistence.
I would say wordy.
Yeah. Persistence.
We'll go with that. All right, Ned. Thanks for coming on, my man.
Fist bump, man.
Always a pleasure,
all
sir.
Right, we'll see you.
Thanks for tuning into the Digital Sandwich. It's the secret ingredient. We'll catch you next time with another wacko guest.